Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3.
Hi, everybody, and it's all happening, and just like that,
and just hashtag
it was
hashtag
happening.
And just like that, hashtag and just like that, it's happening,
and just like that, we're back, we're potting. I am here with dancer, choreographer, director, podcast host, writer, Jack Ferver.
I'm just happy to be here. It's an honor. It really is. I'm very excited to be here today. I really love the city, and the city's my boyfriend, and I'm in the city right now, and so it feels really, for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into it, but I'm just so happy to be here and to talk about something that I care deeply about.
You are boots on the ground in New York City. The city that never sleeps. And
never.
I want to know, first of all, what is your relationship with Sex and the City? Because you've come out on your Instagram with some explosive news.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I was like, they need to be on this podcast ASAP.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you tell your story and your involvement.
Thank you.
With SATC3. Well, with not SATC3, but with this reboot that's happening.
Right. Well, though I do feel the reboot's going to go into the show. And what's interesting is when you reached out to me, things have changed. And I don't want to spend too much time on it because I do really want to get into the format of your show, having had my own podcast, dance and stuff. Go ahead, like, click, subscribe on that, listeners. I only went to episode 200 and then left my co-host on it, which I suggest you do to Carrie if you want on your, you know, it's an incredible move. You'll get a lot of outpour of support and hate mail, which both feel like great in the ambivalent structure of a psyche. And I enjoyed doing that podcast and taking a break or leaving. We'll see. And but part of why I did is indeed so years ago, this is probably, I don't remember if it was 2000 or 2001 or 2002, but I moved to New York because I had done this movie called Outside Providence. It was produced by Miramax. The Farrelly brothers wrote it. It was actually a very sweet piece. And Alec Baldwin plays the dad in that. And I met Alec in that and we became friends. And a few years after, he called me on my phone to say that he had a role in this movie he was doing called The Devil and Daniel Webster, which is going to be Anthony Hopkins, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Kim Cattrall. And he wanted me to play his assistant and my scenes would be with Kim. At this point, I hadn't seen Sex and the City because I was young and felt like I just needed to watch French films. I really wanted, like,
you
I
were
had,
too artsy for SATC.
I was too artsy, and I had seen Juliette Binoche and Bleu, and I was like, ugh, I just need to be in French films, and aren't I Isabelle Huppert? And I really...
You are.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean,
you're highbrow. I have no time for this HBO.
HBO. Exactly. Wait. Je ne sais pas. I just couldn't. You know, it was mm-hmm. a really... Je suis fatigué. Je travaille beaucoup... du jour ce soir, and I just couldn't do it. So,
je suis désolé. I'm not doing it.
Do you know
sorry.
What I mean? Absolutely, absolutely. And also, pas désolé. Not sorry. Like I was really like,
fair
enough. And pas désolé. Like I'm busy doing art. And so, so he called, and I was like, oh, cute, fun, yeah, like I amazing. I'd love to. So I go, and I'm on the set, and Kim is amazing. I'm gonna like I'm a hardcore Kim stan. So because I was highbrow, I was really poor, and so I would like every day she would be, and all my scenes were with her. And immediately when she met me, she's like, oh hi, and we just started talking. We talked about theater, and because I was like, oh, and I do theater, and so we talked about this stuff. And she said, I remember us being at Kraft, and she's like, we can't eat this. Let me just take you to lunch for our meals. Or, like, all of our meals. Like, I'll just take you. I was like, I have no money. And she's like, I'm on a TV show. I'll take you. She mm-hmm. took me to every meal for the that I was on for the entire shoot. And I probably worked for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And she took me to every meal. And we hung out and talked. And she is an amazing woman. I really... adore her. And she brought up, she's like, have you seen the show? And I said, I haven't. And she went, I'm like, because I was like, I'm not gonna
lie.
I
wish I could be a fly on the wall as the star of Sex and the City asked you, have you seen the show?
Like,
and for you to say,
no.
I simply haven't.
Asking this, like, 20-year-old Satan's twink living in Williamsburg, like, just asks, I was like, no. And
She actually kind of loved that.
She was like, well, with people, because also how I came to New York, like, the first, I grew up in this really small, scary town that, like, my terrible joke about it was, like, boys don't cry without the funny parts. Like, I was so bullied, beaten up. Like, it was so scary. And I... got out by getting a scholarship to this school called Interlochen. I got a scholarship to Williamstown as an apprentice, but I got cast as a lead on a main stage there. And that's how I got the movie. So I'd already like done a play with celebrities who were like celebrities at the time, like Scott Wolf and Hope Davis and Robert Sean Leonard. And I was like, this is all, we're just here in the thing. Like we're all peers in this way, right? But, oh my God.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, yes. Hello, that's what we're doing. I mean, hello here. And so, mm-hmm. so I did say, no, I haven't seen it. And I also don't think I had a TV because I was poor. And she was, and she goes, you have to see it. I play a gay man. And I was like, iconic. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I'm always having sex with people. She's like, there's this part where this woman comes in my face. And I was like, oh my God. Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds incredible. So we talked to him about it. And then she's like, you've got to get on the show. And so she would call me in for, like, she would be like, bring this person in to audition for stuff. And I just couldn't get cast. Like, I just couldn't, like, do any of the line readings right. I went in for the assistant for that guy she dates who, like, gives her the present. And she realizes the assistant picked out
Richard's
the present.
Assistant.
Yeah, so I went in for that. I mean, I was obviously going to be playing assistants. You know, the gay assistant was really what I was in at the time. But I just couldn't get cast in any of it. At the same time, I was doing Strangers with Candy, and Amy Sedaris is friends with SJP, and so she was like, "Oh, I'm friends with SJP," and I remember her being like, "Well, I think I'll really be able to." I think she was like, "I'll teach her how to cook, and she'll teach me what kind of underwear to wear." I feel like that's what I remember from that interaction. Anyway, I never got cast on Sex and the City, and I was like, "Well, this is a bummer." Fast forward years later, Bridget Everett does that incredible show, "I Love You More." That pilot is absolutely one of my favorite pilots that's happened. I was like, this has to go forward. And I went in for that because I know Bridget. And I met MPK. I met Michael Patrick King at that audition. And he was like, oh, you're amazing. Da-da-da. I didn't get cast in the show. Cut to this. And I get called in to play the niece of Samantha Jones. because there's going to be this niece who appears, who's like, who's gone to this college that's really, in line, highbrow, and arrives in the, because there's this thing around like, where is Samantha and what's happened and stuff. And the niece shows up basically to wreak terror on the friends, and
right.
who at first, but first insinuates herself in a very All About Eve kind of way. Like, is very like, oh my God, you know, my aunt Samantha, and I love her. And I know that you were all very close, and I know that something's happened. And, I start to get really close with, and this is fine, 'cause I didn't sign an NDA in any of this, so it's fine. And I'm like, I start getting really close with Carrie. And then things just start getting weird. We're like, Carrie, well, there's one episode where she can't find her cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with her. And then at the end of that episode, you see me throw it in the trash in my apartment.
Wow.
Like, it's this. And so, powerful. And it's, and it kind of has like a single white female bent to it. It was having all of this thing. And it was, I mean, it was. A of all, I left so much of the city for COVID. Parker Posey is my best girlfriend. She's like my twin sister. We live in this house upstate. I like went up there. And so being back in the city, I was like in love with the city, in love with my boyfriend. And then I got cast on the show, which felt, I haven't really been in anything since Strangers with Candy, honestly. I mean, I've done like some stuff, but nothing major. And that's not true. I did High Maintenance, but, I was like, this was going to be a recurring arc, not like a one-off. And also something that I was like, and this is correct. This is the kind of role I should have always been playing. And
yeah.
And I smoked. I was also the only character who was smoking on the show because I was like, I smoke. Can I smoke on the show? And they were like, sure. And I was like, great. And so, but it was like a huge issue for...
They've given you a lot of freedom just on set and just in general with your character, like letting you smoke, not signing NDAs.
You really
came in guns blazing and got to do whatever you wanted.
I did. Well, I had a lot of Times reviews behind me. And you know what that's mm-hmm. like. I mean, when you get, I mean, regardless of how you're going to land down on that paper, it is something that whether you're loved or hated in, which I have absolutely been both, it gives you this badge, and it gives you this badge in this city. And that's not lost on this team that was very much looking to have, and just like that, really be the reboot people have been waiting for. And I feel like my arc was something that was really going to contribute into that. I was so kind of, I mean, just my character's name was Jade. I was really like, this is amazing. But there was all this, there's like this one scene where Charlotte goes, is that really your name? And then I like, I've been like really nice because we're having like a brunch and I like take a bite of cantaloupe and I let the cantaloupe fall out of my mouth onto the plate. And then I just stare dead eye at Charlotte and I go, yes. And then she goes, oh, okay. And she like dabs her face when having everything. Anyhow. So, and the other thing is like when Cynthia was running, when she was doing her political campaign here, like I was in Hudson at that time and did a whole thing with her around that. And so I knew her. I didn't really know SJP and it's so funny. I'm just blanking on her name right
Kristen
now.
Kristen Davis.
Yeah. And Kristen. Mm-hmm. And so it was thrilling to work on. I loved the role. It's like really the first roles I really felt like I was going to get time to be nuanced with, to bring a lot to. And because I just had gotten this dog, they were going to let me have the dog in there as well. I mean, and the set was feeling very free.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it didn't feel free. I started getting some script changes. There was just like some script changes or like scenes I was in were cut. Like the scripts I was getting were cut. And then like a scene that had been talked about or even something that we'd done a table read of wasn't there anymore. And then I just got called in and they're like, this just isn't going to work in the show. And I was like, what? And they're like, it's not going to work. It's for where we're looking to go with the girls. It's taking us in this direction that we need to like explore more or not at all. Mm-hmm. And I understood that, but I mean, I'm devastated, of course. It's something that I was really looking forward to, that I was loving doing, that the things that I did get to shoot at were so fun that I was building a reel from, and that I also felt like was material that could be Emmy worthy, and that I was going to take me in this other direction that I think I was surprised by. So I'm just bummed about it. And that's like what's shifted from like the time you, and what was weird. And I knew, and you and I text a little bit about it. And I did check in with my management to be like, you know, what do you think? Is this okay? And they're like, yeah, just talk about it. Cause it's going to like hit, you know, like I was supposed to talk to Cindy Adams about it. But I like, don't know if I want to. And this felt right. Like coming on this and talking with you felt really right. Felt really, like the right place to be. Like Carrie has said so many warm things about you, and I felt just really safe to be vulnerable with you and with whoever listens to this podcast. And so that's that story. Well, that's like end of Jade.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming here to tell your truth.
Thank you.
And hearing your experience, I have to just think that Jade was starting to really be the star of the show in a lot of ways, taking things in a bit of a noir direction, adding a little edge to the mix. And
yeah.
I can see that really scaring off people who just aren't ready mentally and emotionally to go there. That kind of person is not me.
Like, it's, I would so love not nothing you
more than Jade, but I don't know if the world is ready for Jade.
It feels, I mean, I hope that she gets to have a spinoff, that something gets to happen with that. I'm a huge Michael Patrick King fan. Like I love MPK so much. He's like so sweet. That, again, I have to like shout out Bridget's show, love you more, please, if you didn't see it, see it. Bridget's also gonna have a show that's coming out that I'm excited for. But yeah, I guess I agree. I will say I'm an Aries moon, and so I do know that I can arrive in a situation and it can get a little bossy bottom maybe, and feel this sense of but I'm just looking to where I come from in terms of performance. It's a collaborative act. And and that's the jouissance of it, really, is that you get to create these worlds with each other and then give them to people as this special gift. And so I was really coming to set. I mean, I wasn't sleeping. I was coming up with different ideas. I mean, and that's true. I mean, they weren't like, you can smoke. I just started doing it. And the thing with the dog was I just started bringing her. And, but I felt that that would all just be integrated. And I thought it was being. And now in hindsight, I'm wondering if maybe just it wasn't. But I would have been up for a conversation about it, I think.
Yeah.
So
it would have been nice to like have someone flag it and then maybe totally take you aside and talk to you about it before just like cutting you.
And I would say that I'm totally approachable.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, absolutely.
Thank you. So I felt
extremely comfortable approaching you.
Thank you.
And I felt social media.
Yeah. And I felt really comfortable with you approaching me in a DM. And so I feel that, yeah, I feel like that and could transition into something IRL, but you know, we just had gone through COVID. Like, I think people are still finding their sea legs or land legs, whatever that is, that expression around social interaction, because I mean, people weren't even talking to each other at the grocery store, which I'm sorry that you're going back into, by the way, out in LA. Like it's clearly already here in New York. Like it's here.
Yeah.
I'm like, if it's in LA, please. Please.
It always starts in New York and then a few weeks later makes its way to LA. And I like that New York is just like, well, we're just going to press forward.
We
and
are
just
absolutely, absolutely.
You're not looking back. LA loves that. I think people really genuinely love masks here. Like it has something to do with like just
celebrity culture.
Like I
might be a celebrity. Amazing.
Yeah, and so there's this whole thing. Yeah. It's a very interesting the way that the two cities handle it.
It's here people are absolutely just some do, some don't. I mean, at my at my local, you know, as I went to go get my dandelion greens, there were plenty of people who weren't wearing masks, but I like swooped my dandelion greens and my kombucha and got right on out of there in my mask. The mask that Parker brought me, all these masks from Lost in Space, because there were like these really great masks there, which I do love wearing. And she got me one of those visors. That's like the plastic.
A visor is a power move.
The visor is a power move, and I remember seeing people wearing it before it, and I was like, "That's iconic, and I should start it." So anyhow, but I wrap up on Jade and say that I want to thank you for letting me talk through it. I've definitely feel anxious about putting that out there out here, but I also feel really excited, and I just want to say like it's all in the spirit of love. Being in recovery, I've processed so much, though it always feels good to process in a really big public way. And I feel people have been asking like, how do I feel a lot? And I just keep saying ambivalent. I'm going to keep coming down on that. I do feel a lot both ways. But I am going to just, say, spirit of love. I feel like I showed up to work. And Bette Davis, I don't know, you know, it's like I've been told since day one that I was a very Bette Davis kind of type. And here I am. And I'll just, hopefully I'll age into it more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more will be available. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And more will be revealed over time, I'm sure.
More will be revealed. Odette, it's a real, like, I have trust and trust in the process. And, you know, it's ultimately, it's not my show. And, I'm not the higher power of that show. And so I just kind of have to, you know, it's a real let go or be dragged. And, oh God, my clothes, they were so good. Like a lot of what I was getting, it was getting put into was also this idea that like, it was always vintage Mugler, CDG and Hamelin, which I mean, it was just
avant-garde and statement making.
Statement making for sure. Statement making.
I have chills.
Thank you.
Seen a Jade entrance into the brunch, which I'm sure Jade was always late, or if, you know,
well,
that
I was, she wasn't invited though. That was the thing, was that I would always crash the brunches. And then it was always this thing where they had to like, I'd be like, isn't there another, oh, can I sit here? And then there'd be this awkward thing. Yeah. My first look was that amazing plastic CDG skirt. Saks is doing a sale on it right now. And it was that and a crop top. Fingernails were painted black. They didn't want my fingernails painted black, but that's what I thought would be really incredible. And so I had come in with, gels, and it would like they couldn't take them off in time for like how it was happening. So it ended up just sort of sticking with
the role.
That's the way
the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing the work. You're doing the character work. That's basically what you're saying.
I do like dress myself into the role, and I can really become the role. I mean, God, the prep time on this, I can't tell you how wild I had been feeling since my birthday's in February. I'm in Aquarius, and that's when I found out I got it. And it was just, I have felt, so I am in a bit of a come down. I'm a little afraid of that, I guess. So if people want to reach out to me on Instagram and tell me you love me, I'd love that. That always helps me. And my website's jackferver.com. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, now let's get into your show.
This is really exciting, and I think can be a very healing experience piggyback on what you've gone through, because in this show, for anyone who's newly tuning in, I invite a guest to pitch me on their idea for the canceled movie Sex and the City 3, and they give me log lines for the four girls, and then we build the movie from there. So this is really your moment and to share your vision with the world. So, you know, with that, I will pass the buck to you, and we'll see what you come up with.
Yeah, so where we find the girls is in this post-apocalyptic detritus of a New York that something has happened to, but that isn't ever discussed. And so, I mean, poetry,
the event.
There is an event, there's, or it could have been multiple events. I mean, I do stand by poetry is not vague. So what you're seeing is specific. Mm-hmm. I really do picture the pilot or maybe most of the show being shot by Jonathan Glazer. And there is this definite sense of, like the soundtrack's Michael Levy. It's, I'm kind of going design in as, but you know, I think we already know that from where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I'm very emotional. So aesthetics help me. And so Carrie is, she, it begins with her. It begins with her. She is found under something.
Okay.
By Charlotte. And Charlotte's really balked up by this point because she actually ends up turning in. She's like, really is this force that unleashes from the event. You'll kind of, but it starts from, it's all told in flashback. So we're at the, we're in the post event, and then a lot of it is done in haunting flashback. So it begins with Carrie being found under something by Charlotte. And the removal of Carrie from under this thing also releases her from thinking about men, period.
Wow.
She no longer in this show will think about men at all. And instead, with the release of that, there's this buzzing that begins to happen right between, like right in her third eye. And she now has the power to tell the other girls where they need to go to get to zones of safety. But that is her only arc in this show now, is actually being a friend and taking care of people. So this is, it's sort of like this reveal of like, she's actually going to show up. And Charlotte now has like really bulked up. It's a lot of like turns, right? It's Charlotte's really bulked up. She now from the event has this like amazing strength. I know this is sounding very Marvel, but I am telling it from a Jonathan Glazer standpoint.
No, it's I'm 100% with you.
Because I don't want it to look like a Marvel. I want it to look like Jonathan Glazer. So you do have this feeling of, it's gritty, it's real. There's like abstraction. There might be layered sequences. And Charlotte's strength is strength, like extreme. We find Charlotte with like this extreme superhuman strength. Together, Charlotte and Carrie go on. They're able to find Miranda, who is at the top of something very high, and they're trying to get her to come down. And Miranda is still a bit of Miranda, where she's anxious, she's yelling at them a little bit, she's snapping back in a way that is about her own anxiety. And they just keep saying, let go, let go, let go. And eventually she does. And she falls and realizes she can fly. So Miranda now, by being able to let go, but it's only if she let goes. Let's go. Yeah. That's how it goes. Let's go.
And it's a beautiful message. It's like a metaphor.
It is like a metaphor. Yeah, for sure. So then a lot of the season is them looking for Samantha. I have thought of this and that Kim won't come back because, like, I know, I just knew she wasn't going to.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. And in this movie. So there's a lot of, like, in the flashbacks, there's a lot of them talking to someone who you assume is Samantha. And towards the end of the movie, they do uncover Samantha, who is no longer Kim Cattrall, but is this mist. It's this kind of gray mist, and they're using someone's voice who sounds like Kim. And it is Samantha who unleashed this event accidentally through a spell that she was working on that was meant to be a more sort of like Deepak Chopra abundance thing that had like, or had been like an, you know, an O magazine kind of, like it was a very I love and approve of myself spell that ended up completely decimating everything.
Yeah.
Except for a few people around who might still be alive, who Samantha is aware might still be alive because she feels bad about it. Mm-hmm. And so she goes up and turns into the sky, and she, with stars, shines down where the other people are, and Carrie is going to navigate the girls to go find these other survivors.
Okay, great. I love this.
And by the way, there are no men in this at all, and no men are discussed ever.
Men are dead, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All men are dead. Yeah, in the event.
Which, okay, I believe the event to be...
Yeah, let's workshop that, because I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, I think
it's kind of like a nuclear explosion that detonates as a result of whatever Samantha's doing. And I think it, since she is the detonator, it immediately, I think she becomes this mist, and she herself detonates into mist that sends, truly a shockwave through the entire world, starting with New York mushrooming out.
Yes.
Immediately killing every man.
Yes, and, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, flattening the world. So now there are very few survivors.
Yeah, I want there to be very few players in this. I think, in terms of casting, I'd like them to all be unknowns. And, I love Florence Pugh so much, but I don't want her to show up in it. I really want it to be all unknowns, but I want it to be people who have a voice like hers. I do like a low voice in it, and I think I like that tone. Though I also like the idea that, I'm a choreographer, so I love the idea that a lot of this movie is not talking and is movement-based. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
hopping
running.
It's
hopping over. It's also just having a boogie down where the mist, Samantha starts to, she at one point,
the swirl.
She
is trying to save, she's trying to save the remain.
She doesn't have any sort of anything that was left of a kind of idea around human thought is gone from this Samantha now. So it's only acting as an intelligence that is just sort of more of a heat seeker for other forms of intelligence that might be left on this realm before going to whatever other realm this Samantha might go to. And so I also picture things. Of course, I'm such an Aquarius that I want. I'm sure I'm also thinking of David Lynch in here. That people have to record backwards and then it gets played forwards. Or I don't want it to be that, but something like that. But I love the idea of Samantha kind of turning herself into a club where the three girls dance at one point. She can turn into a building. It's this mist, but it turns into shapes kind of that we might. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's shape shifting and maybe causes mirages.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
And I want there to be no music until we see Samantha. And that's where I picture this Michael Levy score starting. So that also Samantha and the Michael Levy score are very paired. It's a very sensorial. I would like this movie to only screen in planetariums.
Love.
And
it needs to be a fully immersive experience where you are surrounded by screen. I think that we could even go so far as to have a fully immersive, not 3D, virtual reality.
Oh yeah, exhibition. VR is really in, I hear.
You become you are in now the rubble post event and seeing the story play out. Maybe it actually only is a VR experience.
Oh my God, you're so tours good.
City to city.
Yeah. TMC with the circle around it, which means copyright. Ladies, gentlemen, and other, that's happened here first, and you can't use this idea.
No one can use this without. Yeah.
Well, we have to. We get to direct it. And I think you should direct it and I should choreograph it. And fabulous. Then I think they can kind of write it as they go along, like a Chris Guest film. We'll be these are the scenes, and then they'll just improvise. And then we'll see what works. It could maybe even be live, where it has to be a live performance that is VR, so that they have to do it a certain number of times in a location like where they do shoot those Marvel things, or there's all those, or no, it was the Mandalorian. I didn't see that because I don't know.
I didn't see it either.
That series that. Mm-hmm. of thing yeah. about, which is Star Wars, I think. But mm-hmm. I didn't see any. But there's like, there's all the, they're in a room with a bunch of TVs that play the okay. set, I've heard. I don't know. I'm not, I don't, I think, I, anyhow, but some, who, but I love this VR idea. I love it. I yeah. was thinking when you were talking about it, have you ever laid in a swimming pool at night and looked up at the stars and you're the only one in the swimming pool?
I actually haven't, but I would love to do that.
If you ever come to New York, we'll do it. Okay. And you just get naked, you're alone in the dark, and you lay in a pool under the stars, and it feels like the beginning and the end. That's really the genesis of this when I think of it. And yeah. I think it'd be really beautiful.
I think there's something to be said also for like having like a sensory deprivation tank experience.
Maybe it's a sensory deprivation with VR.
Yeah, it could be that exactly, where you kind of are the mist and you experience it as the mist element.
What about that? As so the movie begins, it's going on, whatever, you're seeing all this stuff, and when it gets to Samantha, you realize it's you and you are Samantha.
I love that.
And that, okay, wait, you're this mist. Wow. Wow.
Can
that
we, like, yeah, this is powerful. This is yeah. deep.
This is healing.
I want to like kind of paint the picture of what happens in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, so
details. Right.
Yeah. Details. So like, right. I imagine so there's no score at all. It's just like stark. Not, I think it's just all like kind of natural sounds that
natural
would be
sounds.
Occurring in this
and
world
maybe unnatural sounds that we don't know until this is all gone. Maybe things that we wouldn't expect or anything. Yeah. Do you think there should be monsters or anything that this is made?
I think like, there absolutely could be. Like,
yeah,
I imagine yeah. it starting with just like a stark gray sky with like dust and maybe like a one bird. And like,
yes.
you're like, where are we? Like, yeah. what is this?
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
kind of pans down into the city of New York that is unrecognizable.
Right. Right.
Rubble.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Not even like Day After Tomorrow or whatever, where you can see the Statue of Liberty's arm sticking out of the water. She's gone. Like, that's over.
No, it's all
it's
gone.
It's just rubble.
And
right.
It's like a rubble island.
Right.
I think actually you see the island of Manhattan completely flattened.
And as you come down, like, you're like, oh, it's Manhattan. But as you come down, you see it's just nothing but dust.
It's nothing. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just dust. There's not even like ambulance sounds.
No.
I think it's
no.
like eerily quiet. Because yeah. everyone's dead.
Everyone's dead.
Or so you think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you see, I think, a woman with like just ripped arms.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pulling.
Yeah.
Like things.
Absolutely.
Off of the ground. Like
Madonna in the reinvention beams. Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beams
yeah.
off the ground and like through rubble, and you hear her voice going, Carrie? Carrie?
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
You realize that it's Charlotte, just like covered in like sweat and dust
yeah.
and just like inexplicably ripped. Like it's like G.I. Jane or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who is this woman? Oh my God, this is Charlotte. We're just like throwing the audience into the mix.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you see like a Manolo, like a heel, like a foot with a Manolo sticking out.
What if it's like
rubble.
A totally a foot that just has like the heel of the Manolo like plunged into it? Because like the mm-hmm. explosion got rid of a lot of it, and the Manolo, like just the heel stuck into. What if Carrie walks just with heels that are stuck into her feet, that are no longer on the like the shoes gone, but
I
the heel
Carrie's...
was so strong. Like then she also, because of this third eye, kind of doesn't hit the ground so much. Like they're all, Charlotte's the most grounded, and then
yeah.
Carrie's in between, and then Miranda can fly, and then of course we have Mist.
I think Charlotte might have had. Like, we did see in flashbacks that she actually had, like, a pretty locked down, like, panic room that when this was starting,
she was
grabbed
totally
her
safe.
her family, she put them all in there and she was safe. And like they miraculously survived because
what I love is that her family, if there were any men in that, because she has a husband and then are her kids. Yeah. Are the kids boys?
The kids are girls.
They're girls. Okay, so they survived. They should be gone though. And I think they've become feral. And like at times they'll look up and they'll see something scuttle across something. And she'll be like,
kids have become feral, like cats. Devilish creatures Taps. That like will rip your throat out and like eat you alive.
Absolutely. It is a true, they come out at night mostly. You know, it's a real aliens, except it's children post this event. And it's these, they come out at night mostly.
Okay.
Charlotte will have that line, I think, because I think people will. I think people will, some will know it. Like if you're, you know, like a kid in the 90s, you'll be like, work. And then some people won't know it and they'll be scared. But that's what I love about being a kid in the 90s, right? Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. So Charlotte is like digging Carrie out of this rubble. I think Carrie's legs have been completely crushed by like a beam. And this is where we will get to like fashion some sort of, I think, robot legs with like fabulous shoes. Like it's going to be like a robot heel, like thigh high boots that are just like made of metal. And then I think can be ever shifting. She can make shoes out of objects or
this
whatever.
This is so incredible. Like, but does she make it? Has she kind of also become like some sort of weird welder with that third eye thing where she, I picture her being able to look at something and then the material shifts into a kind of like robot leg and then she can just suck it onto her leg part.
She, like, can sculpt with just, like, the air and kinetic energy.
I love that.
So Charlotte drags her out, right, does, like, some CPR. Like, I think, again, there's no dialogue, and you see Carrie.
But you do, kind of, like, the first words we do hear are, and I want it to be really gravelly, like, almost like Linda from Terminator, like Linda Hamilton in this last one, you know, where it's like, Carrie. And you turn and you see that it's Charlotte all jacked. And then she pulls her out. She pumps on Carrie's chest. Carrie's like, huh! And coughs up like all this like rubble and blood. Mm-hmm. And then
you see her leg, like Charlotte's quickly like takes her belt and like tourniquets her legs.
Yeah.
And then like drags her into a shelter. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe just like the first 5 minutes is like Charlotte just trying to make sense of what's happened, like fashioning some sort of shelter and like making sure that Carrie's okay.
And this is one of those moments where I feel like in the fashioning of the shelter, you see Charlotte placing something like to make a wall and flashback to the panic room. So flashback to and Charlotte running
like,
down
with the guy running through her apartment. Yeah.
Right. And they get in, close the door, and she goes, We'll be safe. And then you hear something and you watch her husband like just turn into a blood bag and burst.
Yeah.
And like
and
her
all
and the,
over her and the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just splattered. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's happening outside. Mm-mm. You just like it's kind of shaking.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you see their reactions, and then everyone's screaming. They're covered in blood, and then suddenly the girls start like licking the blood like off of themselves, and they get like wild-eyed, and they try like I guess maybe they even like pass out from shock, and they come to, and the girls are like wild-eyed, and they're trying to attack Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte comes to, and it's dark in there, and she sees like four eyes glint up. And she realizes that it's her girls who have turned into this thing. And they attack her. And as she wrestles them off, they all fall through the door. And she's able to throw them out something. So they go away and you see them scamper off. And you see her crying and then looking down. And she just picks up rocks and starts doing curls with them to realize that this is her new life. And she needs to just accept
it. Just bulk up,
and
a little
bulk
bit.
Bulk up. And like maybe you see her like see some eggs and stuff. Like food's not gone. Or there's food is like under rocks and she just like eats whatever. And then we cut back to Carrie and Charlotte in this place with Carrie's legs tourniqueted. and mm-hmm. and Charlotte now coming back to where we are. So still no dialogue. All we've heard is Carrie, Carrie, the screaming, this running in, this flashback, da da da. Now we're back to the actual, yeah. the shelter of now, right?
And then we're back, yeah, going, and maybe like as they're looking out from shelter, like the sun is setting over Manhattan, but it's like this, it's just creating really weird colors because of all the dust yeah. in the air. And so it's yeah. just like, it's all very surreal and like nightmarish. And then as the sun's going down, we cut back to, I think it's like, we need to cut back to like Samantha or something, or Miranda. Like,
as the sun's going down, I feel like as the sun's going down,
cut to
I
them
think
all
we
at
should
like dinner the like even before we need to like cut to them at dinner the night before the event or something.
Yes, and
like
you
that.
See the three girls talking to you to mm-hmm. camera, and they're like, "Well, what are you going to do tonight?" And then you don't the camera. So from your angle, you hear. Well, I found this ritual that I'm pretty mm-hmm. excited about. And the girls yeah. are like, well, what's the ritual? It's an abundance ritual. And they're like, oh, well, can you tell us any more about it? And then you just hear, no. And then, and, you know, and then like there's this, and that's where I'm picturing some like nice cinema magic of like some overlay or whatever, or like the camera zooms really quickly into Carrie's eye and out of Miranda's eye, like where you would mm-hmm. zoom in and out and have the sort of sense of who's viewing what and where are we and where are we going. And then like as you watch the sun fade, you hear that sound again, you
okay.
know.
Yeah, love it to bring yeah. you back in to the
to bring you back
moment.
In. But like we've had this, and so now we've also established that at times through this movie you're watching, you are Samantha. Like now we've also kind of set up that it's that you're going to be seeing it from Samantha's POV.
Mm-hmm. And I think even in
which
the
I
dinner,
like having
I like
early
that
on.
Too. That's a really good touch and a good to establish that early on. Because
well, there's
then,
so much mystery, and some people could be like, "I'm out of here. Like, what the fuck?" So
yeah,
that would really
that
key me in. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're like, "I'm Samantha. Work."
Yeah,
yeah.
And so,
I'll
like,
stay.
And I think in the dinner, it's like we see Carrie's talking about her problems with Big. Miranda's talking about like her legal. Like some legal drama that she's having, or like work drama that she's right. having. And it's kind of like a return to form, except you happen to be like the Samantha character.
Yeah. 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 I love
okay,
that.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
And then we're back, like, we're back in this, in the rubble with Charlotte and Carrie. And maybe it's like the next morning, or is it like, I'm trying to think, like, is it the night? Is it, like, sometime in the night, like, Carrie seems like she might not make it or something? Or is, like, and
I
Charlotte has to maybe cut her legs off or, like, do something.
She realizes to, like, that, like, the legs are getting that, like, gangrene or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and you hear her just say, I don't want to hear, you know what? I think we're ready to hear... like Charlotte say something like, I'm going to have to cut your legs off, Carrie. And yeah. I feel like that's like a line that I think would become really iconic, where you like people leave the movie and like you'd have a friend who's going through something and the like thing would be like, I'm going to have to cut your legs off to let them yeah. know that like they're not doing well. And like, so there could be these lines that go forward in this other mm-hmm. way now in the world we're living in now, quite frankly. So she does.
I also see Charlotte like having a torch, and you hear kind of skittering around, and it's the feral children.
Oh,
and
no.
And they smell the blood of Carrie's legs. So, like, and Charlotte's having to be like, get away. And they're like,
yeah.
And running away. And so she's like, I also have to cut Carrie's legs off and like feed them to these children. Because
I love the
smelling.
Idea of
like,
her throwing the legs, and it's just corn of the cob.
Yeah, and then kids, all these, like, hungry little kids, like, run up and mm-hmm. take them.
And take them away, skitter away with Carrie's legs.
And I think even Carrie in this moment, we can have a moment of levity where Carrie's like, you can take my legs.
Yeah.
But don't take the shoes. And so Charlotte keeps the shoes that she was wearing. And
that is an incredible first line for Carrie. You can take my legs, but don't take the shoes. That's amazing. Wow, you do live in Hollywood. Because that's how you do it. That's you get like a real script, Jen. That's you can take my legs, but not the shoes. Okay, but then inside of that, it's like something that the audience laughs at, is like spun out by, but like cut to like the kids eating it, and then you hear like wow, 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 and the kids kind of like get freaked out and skittle away, and then you see this like thing in the middle, like Carrie's third eye beaming, and her hand starting to move around the shoes. And, like, all of a sudden, metal starts to pull from different places towards these Manolas. And it just starts to link itself in and, like, turn to liquid and, like, turn into these amazing things. And then suck onto Carrie's legs.
Mm-hmm. And she gets power from, I think, like, she now gets power when she puts those, like, metal legs shoes on her legs.
Absolutely.
And she's like back.
The original ruby red slippers were silver. It wasn't it wasn't ruby red, it was silver. So I also love like going back to old stories of yore, to because I think that's just cool.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I also like the idea that after that magic, when it cuts back to Charlotte, for whatever reason, she looks bigger. Mm-hmm. And that, because I don't like the idea that Charlotte really has to just labor to get her powers. It would just bum me out. I'd be like, why is Charlotte?
I think it's automatically like it's just happening. Like, I don't even think we need to have her doing any push-ups. It's just like every shot of her is like she's like more and more muscular and cut. And it's like, you just accept that Charlotte's like journey, just like you're accepting that now Carrie's third eye is glowing and she can like magnetically and kinetically fashion these like shoes out of metal rubble.
It's just like legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And then
incredible.
Do we see like mist kind of shining down? Like there, I think we need a moment where they're like, what happened, and they're like, I don't know.
I do like the idea of Carrie going, what happened, and Charlotte going, I don't know, and then you hear wailing, like deep deep crying, because I want us to get to Miranda, like,
yeah.
And so you're hearing this crying, and they look out, and Carrie goes, Miranda. Cut back to crying, because Miranda is crying at Steve. Like, she's crying, she's dealing with something, she's just like, I can't believe this. And she looks up from this coffee table and she says, you know, I've always felt unsure here, and I just don't think. And before she can say working, the event happens. And
What? Maybe she's at the office and she's on FaceTime with him, and she's at the office in a high rise.
We need
and
that.
And it's kind of like,
we need to see those
like
windows
blowing out. Why aren't you home?
Out.
Yeah. Why aren't you home from work? And she's like, this is my job. Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Like,
what's your job, Steve?
Yeah. I'm like carrying all this weight. Like, it's up to me. And then, mid-conversation, all the windows. Her office is just, like, all windows. Corner office. They blow out.
That, I love that shot.
Yeah. And everything goes, and she's, like, blown backwards.
Like, you just, and we have, like, a very, like, a slow-mo shot of watching. Sorry, my dog is, She's dreaming. So if anyone hears a kind of whimpering, it's that she's dreaming. But I don't want to wake her up because she's like, she's a rescue. Beautiful. So I just want to let her be. And I think that like what we're telling is giving her a really good dream. So I want to see the slow motion of Miranda's hair just like blowing back, and you just see like this halo of red of like her hair that like somehow like fills the whole screen as she falls back is, and it's also like shot from like downtown to like, you know, the reservoir. Like, she gets, like, blown. Because let's say Samantha's... Well, where does Samantha do this? Let's say Samantha does it at the tip. Like, at the she's doing it, like, South Street Seaport. Because for whatever reason, it was, like, she needed to, like, be by as much water. She needed to, like, have water on three sides of her. So that's why she goes down there to, like, the peninsula or whatever, the tip. She goes to the tip. And so, the edge. And so I just want... I love this idea of this also, this, like, slow motion, really beautiful shot. I feel like it could take, like... you know, minutes of watching Samantha blown through from the office up to the reservoir in Central Park and like landing into that water.
And this is also kind of Miranda's first flight, if you will. Like,
totally.
So you see, we shoot in like ultra HD slow motion.
Ultra.
You just see little shards of glass.
Yeah, like, glimmering.
Blowing. This is also very, like, giving me, like, a Gaspar Noé vibe a little bit of, like, going over her body, just flying over the city. And it's also a chance to see the entire city
melt.
Of New York melting and flattening. And you get, like, this is the money shot of,
this is,
like, the destruction with Miranda flying and flying and flying back.
That is
back,
amazing. That is amazing. With her body dropping from sky high down into the reservoir.
Yeah.
Backwards.
And then I think everything around the reservoir is just flames.
Absolutely.
So she's like in a flaming circle.
Totally.
Of safety.
And you see her kind of sinking down with fire overhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's even a moment where she has to realize like, she needs to fight to like live. And so you see her like struggle, like swim up, and then she
like
and
a
that's
good
also
version
in slow
of
motion.
That awful, that movie, I Care a Lot, like when she has to get out of the
car,
but like a good version of it. Like where it's where I would like to see it shot from further away with more stuff. And
there's fish. There are
fish.
There are flaming rubble flying into the water.
Yeah, I want to see that. Because you know what else I'm thinking of is that shot in the Something Hunter. It's where that woman's in the car at the bottom of the lake. And there's all those reeds. It's just really spooky. Anyhow, but yes, like all of that even better.
And I think it's also like really muddy too.
Yeah.
So it's like she comes out and she's like,
covered
in just like total mud, almost like looking like a swamp thing.
She should just look like
but
a swamp
with, like,
thing.
Big eyes,
with
like
big eyes looking out.
Her eyes, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just see them close, and then we watch her for minutes while the mud slowly like crusts from the fire. So you just see the shape of Miranda as. Like mud.
A mud
like
lady. Yeah.
A mud, like, but hardened, like a clay woman.
Yeah. So then do we see her then, like, get out of the water and then make her way to, like, a high vantage point?
I think then I want, like, a close shot of seeing, like, the crusty mud start to crack and seeing Samantha's hands and feet kind of like curling, like gnarling while you're hearing her doing that deep wailing. And we stay on the hands while we watch it crawl up some large thing.
Okay.
So you watch it crawl across the ground, and then you realize through the camera that the camera is now beginning to tilt and we're going vertical.
Okay.
And she ends up being on top of all of those like horrible skyscrapers that are over there that have all collapsed into like one junk pile.
One big junk pile that's and like the best real estate in New York. Like,
absolutely.
Overlooking Central Park.
Absolutely.
But it's just one pile of all those
absolutely.
Buildings.
Those like 4 mile high buildings that are for four residents. And
yeah.
it's, and she is at the top. like when the camera like gets to the top, it then very quickly drops all the way down and you realize that she's miles and miles up.
And she's wailing the whole way, screaming, wailing,
screaming,
yeah, covered in mud.
Screaming, wailing, crying in mud. I can stay with that for a really long time. Like just the sound of screaming and wailing, covered in mud, watching the camera angle go from ground shot to vertical, slowly going up until you're at like a steep vertical. She should be on like a needle at the top, like like whatever those are at the top of a skyscraper that gives your Wi-Fi, and she's on the top of that. Yeah,
totally. And I see this is like a 20-minute scene.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like it's earned by that point because I feel I've spent so much time with Charlotte and Carrie. And in this way, I do feel Miranda get weirdly sidelined frequently kind of in the show, just in its own. I don't know. It's just something like recently I saw that episode where she is breastfeeding and Carrie's over and Carrie keeps talking and like can't kind of show up for Miranda in this way. And I don't, I just don't feel like that moment got honored. And I feel this is the moment for it to get honored.
This is retribution.
Yeah. So she's up there wailing. And then like we have this really then like it takes 5 seconds to like swoop all the way back to wherever Carrie. And I think they're down in like Nolita or something. And and Carrie's thing is buzzing and she goes, Miranda. And then we have like a scene of them walking through the city, which we'll get to have flashbacks of like Balthazar gone. What are other, the Metropolitan Museum of Art gone. You know, or even like new things that maybe people who haven't been to New York in a while haven't seen, like, that
yards.
Island. Yeah, and that island that got built out there. You'd like see that just like gone, like stuff like that, just gone. And it should feel really intense and sentimental and upsetting. And
Deeply upsetting. Like this is the point where I think a lot of people are leaving the theater, but the true heads are in it. And I believe that this movie, it premieres at the Cannes Film Festival and gets the Palme d'Or. And it's like highly controversial because many people are booing, but the ones who love it so deeply and fiercely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But
absolutely.
It's a divisive film.
Mm-hmm. It's it. Absolutely. Well, because I mean, I think thinking about New York being flattened is absolutely going to have that inside of it. But by as someone who lives here, I do think about it every day. I am like, well, I do live in a totally in a Target. So I think there's also something around consensual reality of how safe are we ever that I hope this past year shook people a little bit in. Maybe it didn't really shake people enough, but you know, we live in a death phobic culture and death is the only reality. And I will say that like a show that I loved that dealt with 9/11 in that wild way was Watchmen, of like the squid event happening and that whole thing. And it happening and feeling like it really going through this bombastic, hyperbolic thing that I could have felt, you could feel anything about. That's the thing about sci-fi horror. Like that's, again, why I keep going to Jonathan Glazer, because I feel like and Under the Skin, people walked out of that, let me tell you what. When that baby is getting washed out to the ocean and is crying, I was like one of the last four people in the theater, which I couldn't believe. So this is incredible. What is the matter with you? And I do want to give a shout out that I think Portrait of a Lady on Fire is one of the best films to happen in the last decade. Cried so hard, and that's why I just don't want to see men in anything anymore. So, because there
I'm
aren't
fine
any. Anyhow.
With it.
Yeah. So she's like, Carrie, so the legs are going through where we have a lot of like, and a lot of flashbacks of these places, a lot of flashbacks of the girls. Maybe we can use like former footage of the show, like start at the beginning of the show, the pilot, like start at the pilot, go all through every single episode.
Even see like a bus, like that's turned over with
Carrie
like,
on it with that tutu.
The side, of the tutu. And we just see this world that absolutely no longer exists. And kind of the way it's shot is it's the point of view of you as kind of mist, where you're floating around the characters. It's like really advanced camera work and cinematography.
Yeah.
And you're floating up and you're down. And then I think as they're walking through the city, making their way towards this wailing that hasn't stopped, it's just been wailing ever since we cut from Miranda.
Right.
You see that there's, you see mist kind of forming around the, them in different colors, and maybe even they see it and they don't
know what it is. This iridescent quality that sometimes floats in front of the screen that sometimes you feel you're looking through. Mm-hmm. That you're like, I'm looking through this iridescent mist at them. And then it'll like sweep into, and all of a sudden you're a window. You're different objects kind of watching them as they go.
And I love that. An action moment like right here where the
Feeling the feral children, me too.
The feral children,
They
have to have, I think this is a big set piece in just like selling this movie is like, this is a moment where they face off with like a ton of feral children.
So many. Like, so it's it is like, it's all those schools just unleashed and they're all out and they're all there and they're just like, and all their eyes are super on and glimmering. And I think this is
this
moment.
And they run on all fours. Yeah.
They absolutely run on all fours. And this is this moment where you get to see Charlotte just like picking up like 20 kids at once and throwing them. And like Carrie all of a sudden doing like these really high batmas that just like with the legs. So it is this sense of like of arms and legs in a kind of beautiful. And this is where I feel I come in as a choreographer of this sort of synergistic response from these women to these children they don't want. And I think that that in of itself is already such, it's so totemic. It has its own kind of psychological iconographies that I feel so drawn into and is so much a part of my own work. And I think, I'm really into that.
I'm obsessed with a theme of like women versus children.
Absolutely. And you're not alone in that, you know, I can hold your hand in that.
I see it too, like, at first they see, like, the skittering and they see all the children, their first instinct, and, like, the only word we hear is Charlotte going, run! And then they are running, running, running. And then at the moment you think they're, like, surrounded and they're going to get eaten, like, that's when they tap into their strength, where Charlotte realizes she can throw 20 of them, like,
There does need to be one of those things where it's, like, where the, like, the thing comes, like, in the Mortal Kombat film, and all of a sudden, like, the guy realizes he can, like, cut the giant thing, like, just with his hands or something.
Then Carrie's leg, like, she realizes that she can, like, make her leg, like, go, like, her shoe leg can transform and then just like sweep, like she does even just like a round sweep where she goes around with one leg out and just takes out like all these kids.
Absolutely. Or maybe she can even like, she can like turn her leg into like a helicopter.
And she's like, all she does is like lift it up and then it's like at the knee it becomes the blades.
It just starts spinning.
That's the final that's the final moment where they've fought off all these kids, but even more are coming. And she goes, Charlotte, hold on. And then turns to the side and puts her leg up and her knee becomes the blades and she lifts them out and they continue looking for Miranda from the sky.
Oh my God. So Carrie is able to turn herself into a helicopter and she.
It's kind of Inspector Gadget in a lot of ways. Which is interesting because wasn't Matthew Broderick Inspector Gadget in the movie? So I'm making a nod to SJP's own husband.
We all love an MB sighting in the West Village with the dogs, I have to say. Like, what a charmer. Yeah. So, you know, even from afar, even if he's not tap dancing, we're always happy to see Matthew Broderick or even think of him, I guess, just as long as he's not in the movie.
So we
do get this Inspector Gadget nod. I love the locked elbows and, like, and Charlotte's so strong that she can just kind of, like, back core lift herself up to Carrie so she doesn't even dangle. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I do like the idea of there being one shot, though, of, like, a kid hanging on to Charlotte's foot. And, like, the kid is about to, like, bite Charlotte's foot. They're barefoot, by the way. Like, I mean, Charlotte's barefoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carrie has the legs. But Charlotte doesn't need shoes. And this is where you're seeing that, wow, how tough Charlotte is. Her toe, we have a close-up of her toe punching the child off of her. Yes. And it's
where we're like, wow. It's a powerful toe punch. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where she really is able to isolate that mobility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Just small toe movements. We don't see that ever in film. So that is like another groundbreaking. Mm-mm.
Groundbreaking. It's a close-up of a toe punching a demon child away. I mean, go off. So they helicopter over and they see, this is like kind of, I'm now seeing like a kind of King Kong event of like this helicopter circling this needle of Miranda wailing. And I do think that like Miranda needs to be the only one who can like really fly in this way. So I think that Carrie needs to be like, I can't keep spinning.
And she can't hold two people on her while she's because
Charlotte's getting bigger by the moment.
Yeah.
Like every cut, like she's almost like five times SJP size at this point. And so
bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Like and you're 350 pounds of just muscle.
There's this kind of like, like where you're seeing the helicopter, like her knee helicopter starting to like be like, I can't anymore.
Yeah, as they approach, and I think then Charlotte drops, and you see her just like, she lands just like fit, like standing up on the ground. And that's when you see like pan up of her, just her muscular legs. Like her pants have ripped off pretty much, and now she's just in like shorts and like the remains of a t-shirt, and like she just is like full Hulk. And then Carrie,
I think her shorts should have turned into a panty thong by this point. I think her pants have turned into a panty thong at this point.
She is full female bodybuilder, and like Carrie putters out and then falls through the air, but Charlotte just catches her
absolutely.
Her
yeah. Just like a full
no problem.
Just a full just a full catch. And but there I do like this, like an idea of just a couple of, and only Carrie should get to do lines that are from the original. And so she goes, wow. Like there is, I do think there should be a kind of thing of SJP looking at Charlotte going, wow. And then she sat down and then Charlotte points up and she goes, Miranda. And so they look up, Miranda's up there. Like banshee wailing, just like grief stricken. And Carrie's light, her third eye light, starts to glow. And the light itself starts to it's Carrie's voice, but she's not talking, it's coming out of the glow spot. And it starts to say, let go.
And Miranda just hears it in her head.
In her head, yeah.
Yeah.
Miranda just starts to hear Carrie in her head, and she looks down, and it should be, you know, it's like miles away, so she should look down and only see like a glimmering like light fractal all the way down there in this dusty, dirty hellscape. And like someone's holding like a tiny mirror like far, far away. And you just keep hearing let go, and then you see Miranda slowly start to cry, and I mean slowly start to stop crying, and her face should go like French actress blank, like just super like nothing. And then you watch her lean back and then fall forward, and she just like falls off this thing. And again, we're watching Miranda fall, so this is falling again, except now intentionally falling, right, is sort of the thing of like, and then you go back to it, you go back to the trauma, but you redo it on your own terms.
Exactly.
And she falls, and you see Charlotte getting ready to catch her, and then you hear Carrie, and then Carrie takes Charlotte's arm and pulls it down, and you're confused by this because you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then you just...
Oh, is she going to try and kill her friend? Like, right. What's happening?
You're like, what's going on? And Charlotte should look at Carrie in this kind of confused way. Cut back to see Miranda falling. And then just before she hits the ground, whoosh, up. Like, just up past them, like, in between them. And it should be this real, like, cut back to, like, you seeing her hair blowing back and her face... looks the most serene you've ever seen Miranda look or anyone on the show ever. Mm-hmm. It's the most, in fact, it's the most serene face you've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's pure 100% peace.
It is complete peace. And then you see this like flying around and Carrie starts jumping up and down laughing and grabbing Charlotte's hands and just laughing. And laughing. And Charlotte at this point is like, she's getting to a point where she just conserves energy at all points. It's because she's like really just is becoming just full, like she's so ripped. So she's just kind of thinking in her own way, but Carrie's still kind of like that unhinged laughing and
the giggle and like
the giggle, clapping, clapping and jumping up and down. And she's flying, and then the giggling and clapping draws the kids. Because then you see Charlotte, you see Miranda come, she flies by them, and she goes, shh, as she goes past. That's her first line after crying, is her whole flying by and holding a finger up to her lips and going, shh.
Yeah, maybe she even holds a finger up to Carrie's lips.
Carrie's lips, and just brushes
Carrie's lips with the lightest
closed.
Touch.
Just brushes her lips closed. I love that. And so then you hear the scampering of the kids coming, and then you see them like slowly turn, you know, in that turn way where like Carrie and Charlotte turn while Miranda like gently levitates just like behind them.
Mm-hmm.
The kids attack, except now they're grabbing branches. They're grabbing rebar. They're grabbing like glass and all of this stuff. And it's like a full on attack. And like one of them's able to like jump. They're able to jump on Miranda, who has to kind of like spiral herself up into the sky to fling them off. Mm-hmm. But they should also be having like some sort of glow to them or something. That's bad.
They're evolving. Like they're learning quickly how to like incorporate weaponry and like do whatever it takes to like feed.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of them have like scales or webs or growing claws or any kind of like
they're reptilian.
This reptilian thing is taking over. It's this thing has happened and it gets to this place where the girls are cornered and like it seems like they're just not going to be able to, like, get out of it. Like, I'm picturing, like, that Game of Thrones sequence where I think all the zombies get on Jon Snow and, like, he's just not going to be able to get out. I can't believe I even know about that.
I'm shocked. Honestly, I didn't see Game of Thrones in your repertoire, but you surprised me in so many ways, so I accept
it. Thank you. Well, I was sold on watching...
I think it works as a reference.
I didn't start watching the show until later on, and it was only because I was told that women were killing people. And so I decided to watch it for that.
Love. Okay.
And so, and I took that test once of, like, what character are you? Did you ever take the test of what character?
No.
What Game of Thrones character
What did you,
are
you? Get?
The witch, the Scarlet Witch. Oh, I got okay.
I don't think she's called Scarlet Witch.
She was this beautiful woman who... I feel like was played by Vera Farmiga, but I don't think was. And she was this beautiful woman who like did some bad stuff early on and then kind of is able to save them for a part with the zombies. And then she has this necklace. And at the end, she takes her necklace off. And it's been an enchanted necklace that she's actually like 300 years old. And so that's she looks beautiful just from this necklace. And she just turns to dust. And I did feel like... it was something that, like, I could come across as, like, arcane and mysterious. And I, you know, I guess I magically look young.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, Back to this show. I just picture them being on it. Like, I don't even need to see, like... I don't want to see people, like, our heroes getting, like, cut or anything too severe. Like, I feel I'm really used to that. I feel I could see, like, close-ups of skin, but not knowing whose skin was getting cut.
Yeah, like, and just I think...
Melee. I'm just thinking melee.
Yeah. I think, like, they have scales, and some of them can, like, merge into each other to,
absolutely,
like, turn into larger monsters. Or maybe, you see them... Yeah.
Maybe that's it, though. I love that of just going for it. Like, let's stick it all the way in. So mm-hmm. I think that the children, like, I love that. The children all of a sudden are able to coalesce into one being. Mm-hmm. And it should look actually just like a bunch of children stuck together, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it is one being, but it is literally like 3,000 children all of a sudden stuck together into this one super child.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, raises its hand up to just, like, squish them. And then you all of a sudden confront this child thing, the viewer does. And it looks directly into camera. And then you hear Samantha Jones go, "Enough!" And the children all go, and just, like, turn into weird little, like, tadpole things that, like, go under the ground. I don't like the idea of them dying, but I like that they, like, they're just, like,
they slither away. Yeah.
They just, like, go in, and they just, like, go into the ground. And then you, the viewer, come to circle to the girls, and it's this mist thing that you've been looking through at times throughout this thing, this iridescent, what have you. And you get to watch Charlotte, Carrie, and Miranda go, "Samantha," in unison.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear, "Hello, ladies." And and then Carrie goes, "What?" And then you hear, "Look, I'm really sorry about that spell. It wasn't my intention, but things got out of control." And then Miranda peacefully goes, "I know what you have done, and I forgive you." Right? Because it's this thing of really letting go of anxiety, really accepting change.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlotte's not really there yet and goes, "My husband!" And you watch Big Charlotte come at you, but every time she comes at you to punch, just, like, mist goes back. Yeah. And then you go...
"You can't fight reality."
No. And she should say that. That should be your line. "You can't fight reality." It is what it is, Charlotte. And Charlotte seems in a huff. And then Miranda just turns to Charlotte and places her hand on Charlotte's shoulder. And Charlotte cries a little bit. And then you go, looking at them, "How can I make it up to you?" And then Carrie looks directly at you and gives you this kind of smile. And then all of a sudden you see yourself turn into this kind of, like, dome thing. And you play this, like, amazing, like, a kind of music we've never heard before. Micah's Levy's going to do with this. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And it plays this it's the theme song, but done in this way that I'm not doing justice to, but it's really, like, weird and fractal. And our girls start to dance. It's really cathartic for them. And you just got to see some of their tricks. Like, there's Carrie, like, helicoptering around the room. You know, you have, like... Miranda, like, goes and, like, flies loop-de-loops around her. Charlotte's able to just jump all the way up to see and, like, wave at Carrie laughing. And they're all kind of laughing. And you're all kind of laughing together. And in a way, I feel like that's the end.
I think...
I liked this idea of turning into the sky and going to find other people. And maybe... Mm-hmm. But maybe it could be, like, blackout and credits start to roll. And then, while the credits roll, you start talking, you are like, Wait.
Survivors. Yeah.
Wait, ladies. Now that you've had your fun, the work has just begun. And it's like, there are still some other sentient beings out there. So get ready and let's go. I like the idea of beginning it with the first line of Mommy Dearest, which is Faye says, let's go. So I love the idea. I mean, the first line really is, we're ready for you, Miss Crawford, but it really is, let's go. And so yeah. I do love the idea of ending this movie with, let's go.
I love that. I think it's like, I see it ending kind of with them pulling other people out of the rubble who are like yeah. nobodies, but we're setting up now, I think, what could be a franchise and like showing like
of women.
This is the of women and of who are these people that they're pulling out of the rubble. We've never seen them before, but they're going to be essential characters and they're pulling them out like one by one. And I think you hear Samantha, maybe a voiceover, like reciting the like abundance, like the ethos behind this abundance spell, which was like, a world will be different where women like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, as you're pulling these people out, you hear kind of what she did. And like they pull the last person out and then it cuts to like, I think, actual like your POV. It's right before the event, like you are Samantha.
Thank you.
Standing.
I was there with you. I was I have chills, and you go, on my left side.
I have full body chills right now
because I'm thinking like, that it was also going to cut back to at the end the casting of the spell, like the paper you've carved, the candle you rub the oil on it.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
have like
she just goes like, and now abundance, and then it just cuts to black, and that's like.
Right.
The moment of the event.
Right.
And so now we've set up a world, where like the next movie would be all these people like essentially just rebuilding this world.
Yeah. What does when we say the future is female, what does that look like? And really like, and really finally letting us have it. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. This is good.
I love it too. This is great.
Yeah.
And even if it never got to a sequel point, I just love like setting up something. I love doing all this work to set up something that you really never actually get to see the payoff of. Like, I think that's an interesting thing to do to an audience.
I think there's something beautiful of letting people fantasize.
And the unknown.
Let them
cope with the unknown.
Let them cope. Well, I mean, we live in this age where everyone thinks they know everything, and as I have said to people before, like, make it mysterious or make it funny, and if you can do both, you win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real, I mean, the mystery has just been so killed between like Facebook to Grindr to Instagram, which I do believe is the arc of how Instagram arrives. I firmly am established, and Instagram is the meeting of Facebook and Grindr.
Yeah.
And so I, in terms of its kind of rapacious, like rapid fire, limbic system burning quality. But this is one of those pieces of art. We could call it a film. We can call it a dance. We could call it an event that is a virtual reality experience to reawaken sensorial possibilities of the unknown.
Yes.
I think there's a better way to phrase it, to get people to buy tickets. But
I'm into it. A fully immersive VR experience back in 2017 that I went to. It was at LACMA, called Flesh and Sand, and it was by—
Did you say Flesh and Sand?
Flesh and Sand.
Oh my god.
And it was by Alejandro Iñárritu, and it was like, you are immersed, you are alone in this VR room wearing a backpack, and you walk around the room and you're having this like experience of an immigrant coming to America, like trying to cross the border and come to America. And it was really, it's really intense.
Yeah.
And you can like explore all around and like go into people's bodies and like see inside their bodies. It was one of the coolest things that I've ever done. But this is that, essentially. This is like that, piggybacking off of that, like a real nod to Iñárritu, who inspired the Sex and the City
3 movie.
The event of VR.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the title is Sex and the City 3, the event, a fully immersive virtual reality experience.
Thank you. Thank you. I was like, I was totally established at the event. But I do like it continuing on to a fully immersive VR experience. I think that I feel, because if you're going to have people take a mysterious journey, it might be good to let them know what the form of it is. And then the content can surprise. But maybe the form, they'll feel like, okay, it's a VR immersive event. Little do they know, they're entering a fever dream of a fever dream.
Yeah, and I like that his was 7 minutes, and this is a full, like, hour and a half, or however.
Oh, I was thinking kind of, like, 5 or 6 hours, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, perfect.
Because there's these scenes of Miranda crying for so long, there's the scenes of, and I even think, as I'm thinking, like, when I think of the flashback scenes, I also have to say, formally, and, like, how we both got chills, I love that Samantha's flashbacks, the last one. That, like, you see in credits, or even it might be one of those things where you had to stay for the credits. I also want the credits to go so fast that the millions of people who worked on this film happen in, like, 2 seconds. Like, yeah. I kind of want to be like, and it's over. Mm-hmm. And then if people wanted to see that, you can leave and get a program.
Yeah.
I think there could be hard copy. I think there should be hard copy paper laminated programs, and that everyone who leaves should get a sippy cup with a straw, and that that there is some sort of sense of gluttonous, I don't care, I'm Kirsten Dunst in Melancholia eating the jam before, like, the end, like, I'm just gonna have this straw, and, like, you should come out and, like, receive a small air conditioner and a plastic cup with a straw and a big, and a magazine, like a heavy,
a beautiful printed out magazine
that tells you who everyone was, who everyone knows who worked on it. I think everyone who works on it should get a full page bio.
Yeah, I think so. It's like the bio. September issue of Vogue in its heft. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Can you imagine? This
or
is
like a result, even like a, it's like a coffee table book.
Maybe. Yeah.
We go like a step further. From the
Like,
and that's how you get clout amongst your friend groups and stuff. It's like, oh, you must have gone to the, you must have seen Sex and the City 3, the event, a fully immersive virtual reality experience. I see you have this coffee table book.
That seems to be like cracking your coffee table. How heavy is that? And and like the joke is always like heavy enough for Charlotte. You know, it's like, it's like this sort of thing where... Yeah. You know, there's so much to kind of... I really like the idea that in terms of dialogue, we're only looking at maybe 3 to 3 pages tops. And that, like, everything else is movement, choreography, sound, and light. Yeah.
And I think you can explore when you're in it from, like, all angles. So, like, if you're in the VR, you can, like, climb up on stuff or, like, go into the rubble. Like, it's like you are... You're just living this.
And maybe
moment.
What tracks you back, like when we need to track your eye back to the narrative, it's that Samantha's eye gets tracked back. And there's like something on the headset that buzzes as you get tracked back. It's like it's so lightly you don't notice it, but it buzzes your temples left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and gives you an EMDR experience as well. But I don't think we should let people know they're getting an EMDR experience.
No.
But that EMDR experience opens them further and further into the movie. I want people to leave from this movie and to go home and stay there for a week.
Yeah.
And I want people to not want to leave their apartment and to just really process it. And I like that maybe everyone would be such a frenzy to see it, that maybe everyone in the world would see it at the same time and then go home for 2 weeks, and then COVID would be completely over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone get enough groceries, they'd all go home. And it would be, like, an international event that, like, every job was, like, everyone gets to take off. Everyone.
You get to take off a day of work to go see
this movie and 2 weeks to process it. It will take you a day to watch and 2 weeks to process. Though you'll talk about it for the rest of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Though your children won't be able to see it.
Everything.
Yeah. I do like the idea that, like, it maybe even incinerates itself after those 2 weeks. Like, after everyone's seen it, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah, I think it's, like, it only is open for a certain period of time. Yeah. And then if you miss it, it's simply gone forever.
Completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To create a sense of urgency, I think.
Urgency. This. Yeah. I mean,
a marketing tool that is, like, utilized heavily for a reason.
It needs to be. I mean, the temporary is a fact. So, you know, it is a real, death is certain. And and we can honor that through having this event, this film happen for like one day only. Yeah.
You really did something special and spectacular here.
You did something special. And let me mirror that back. I'll be your mirror, as Nico said. And mirror that back to you did something special and spectacular. And I feel like the collaboration done here was really fierce, complete. And I look forward to more. I love collaboration.
Same. Absolute same. Yeah, this is a beautiful collaboration.
Without help, it is too much for us. And so I think really, like, next thing we try to bite off, we'll get Carrie involved. Be like the three witches.
Stay
double
tuned.
Double toil and trouble. I you know, I can be the and between your toil and Carrie's trouble.
I love. Can you tell all the listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. It's Jack Fervor. That's F as in Frank, E-R, V as in Victor, E-R. You can find me through my website, which is jackfervor.com. And I have all of my work available. Most of all of my work available. There currently is a short film available at the front of my website that I just made.
I just watched that. I loved it. I watched it today. I was doing some research, you know, prepping for the pod.
You watched Jack-Jack.
Jack-Jack, yes.
It is, the text is source text from Mommy Dearest. When Jack says things that I've said to Jack, there's things that Jack says, and then he says that I said certain things over the course of our time together. I'll let listeners in, because we're intimate now, that the things that he says as he turns into a nutcracker is from Mommy Dearest. And I had a podcast that I did 200 episodes with my best friend from high school, Reed Bartleme, called Dance and Stuff. And you can find that on iTunes and everywhere else that are iTunes podcast. Yeah. And Stitcher and all that thing. And you can listen to 200 episodes of it if you want. And, there's some fun ones. There's some real fun ones. And there's some that I'm really proud of in a deep and authentic way. There's some that I'm really proud of in an extreme humor way. And everywhere in between.
Oh God, what a classic. Yeah. Great mix. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
I can't thank you enough. I have to say, getting to like talk through Jade was really healing for me. Thank you for letting me come here and for you taking care of me in that way. I feel so strong about the art we made together today. So
I do absolutely as well.
Yeah, and energized and enervated all at once. Yeah.
I'm ready to go absolutely. Forth. Yeah, into
Me
the
too.
World.
Me too. I mean, look, if you're a producer out there, you know where to find us, and clearly we can work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a total treat. And I really hope to come and visit you and Carrie on your successful podcast. Everyone go over there and buy merch. You can still buy merch from Dance and Stuff, by the way. You can still buy it. We still have bags available.
Yeah, buy all of our merch. Buy Dance and Stuff merch. Buy Sex Unique Podcast merch. Buy it all. Yeah,
it's really, please.
Merch is where the heart is.
Merch is where the heart is. And I do want to say, I know we just met, you know, and it is a kind of whoever you are. I've always depended on the kindness of strangers. But really, I love you.
I love you too.
I mean it. Thank you. And I've been wanting to come to LA so badly. I really, Mulholland Drive is a documentary, by the way.
Like, yes.
It is. And so you have to go when your friends are there and like you might have a spot of work. Otherwise it does feel like you could end up in a bungalow blowing your brains out. So, but I will orchestrate a time to come. And if I do, I will make sure that you're there because I will have to see you. And if you come to
I
New York,
please,
you cannot come through New York and not see me.
No, I will. And I will be in New York in the fall, early winter, for I'm doing live shows with Carrie of Sexy Unique Podcast. So you should come to that show.
I will come to that show. I will promo that show.
Thank you.
I'll promo that show. And we have to absolutely walk down the street together going, dun, 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 dun. Do you and a guest ever sing the theme song together?
Oh, so yeah, the theme song gets heavily used. Usually in every episode, it begins with like a theme song, like the overlooking New York while the theme of Sex and the City plays and then the camera
but
pans
do you
down.
And a guest ever sing it together?
I don't actually think we've ever sang it together.
Do you want to try and do that with me today?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go. Let's go for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pick a note.
Okay.
It's cathartic for me. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I am absolutely ready to greet the rest of everything now.
And with that, we bid you farewell.
Bye.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.